Why don't you turn your Bibles to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 33. We're going to start there, but then we're going to go to another passage and look at something this morning. And I want to read this passage of Scripture, John chapter 18, verse 33, and then we'll kind of dig into some Bible study this morning. Hope it'll be a blessing to you and help us really get ourselves really grounded in what we believe. And it's good to see Sharon here this morning. Richard, doing okay? You're welcome. Let's continue to pray for Richard. He's getting his medication all lined out properly for him and came through the surgery okay, and we're certainly thankful for that. John chapter 18, begin verse 33. You found it, you're able, would you stand and honor the reading of God's holy word this morning? Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate therefore said to him, "What is truth?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help me proclaim your truth. Lord, thank you for this, the sweet spirit of your people here this morning, and thank you for Fairfield Baptist Church. Thank you for the blessing they are to this pastor, and I know to you. I pray you'd help us to see your truth this morning. We give you praise in Christ's name, and amen. You may be seated. You know, I think our nation today is at a crossroads of truth and error. We're kind of at a fork in the road, and I regretfully, many have already taken the wrong turn. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, 14, talks about two ways, two gates, two paths. And he said one way led to life, but one way led to death. He talked about one way is a broad way, but one is a narrow street. He talked about one is a gate to accept all beliefs, and there's one way that says Jesus is the only way. There's one road that leads to heaven and one who travels to hell. And Jesus said many will take the wrong road, but there be few that will take the right one. You know, God's word says that says a nation that would be blessed whose God is the Lord. Jesus said this about a nation who rejects the truth, that they will be condemned. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 21 through 24, he says, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And for you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, you would be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." God's kind of laid on my heart to do a series on Jesus for the next few weeks, leading up to this election. And we're going to ask some relevant questions. But I want to all center this around, what did Jesus believe? You know, in our country today, we've got all kinds of beliefs from people who claim to be Christians and not Christians. But you know what? It really doesn't matter what you think or what I think or what this world thinks or this country thinks. It's what did Jesus say and what does he believe? And I want to look at these questions based on what Jesus believed. First question we're going to ask this morning is, who did Jesus believe he was? Next week, Lord willing, we're going to say, was Jesus a socialist? So much today in our country pushing towards socialism. Was Jesus a socialist? A lot of people have you believe he was. Was Jesus all-inclusive? Just everyone who coming and going, all come into the kingdom of heaven, don't worry about anything. Was Jesus all-inclusive? We're going to ask that question. We're going to ask the question, was Jesus a prosperity preacher? We may even ask some more before it's all said and done. That's how where God is leading me right now. But we're going to start this morning with the first question. We're not going to look at what are you and I think about Jesus, but what he said about himself. But before we get there, I want to just do a little homework, do a little Bible study. So I want to just think this first question this morning. What does the world say about Jesus if you're filling in your little sermon outline? Well, some people say he was a prophet. A lot of folks believed in Jesus today. They said, Jesus the prophet from Nazareth. They said he was a prophet. So it is today. A lot of people in different countries and religions around the world said Jesus was a prophet. The Muslims believe Jesus was a prophet. They don't believe he was the Son of God, but they believe he was a prophet. Some say he was just a great historical religious figure. No one would argue with that. Do you know the largest religious movement in this world today is Christianity? And who's it founded on? Jesus Christ. They wouldn't argue with that point. Some people say he was a great moral teacher. And there's a lot of people in that camp. They want to refer to him, like many in the Bible did, as a rabbi, a teacher. I was sent a Lifeway survey this week, an email. I subscribed to some of the stuff they sent out. But this survey was questioning evangelical beliefs. People who claim to have evangelical, that is Christian beliefs, not just Catholicism or anything, but evangelical, in other words, Protestant beliefs. And 72% of those people in the responding survey said this, they believe Jesus was the first and greatest creature created by God. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't created. Jesus was God from before the foundation of the world. He wasn't created. He wasn't a created being. Some groups like to say he was Satan's brother. No, he wasn't. Jesus Christ is God in flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1, 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 of John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory, only glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, Jesus always was, Jesus always is, Jesus always will be God in the flesh. And it's sad when people who say they're evangelical Christians say, oh, I believe he was created. We're warped, amen? People say, don't condemn anyone. Well, Jesus didn't condemn anyone. And they point to the woman that we preached about a few weeks ago, about the woman caught in adultery, and Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. And they said, Jesus said, well, don't judge others and lest you be judged. Don't judge me. Jesus didn't judge anybody. Let me tell you something. Jesus judged that woman. He said, go and sin no more. What you're doing now, stop. Don't do it anymore. That was a judgment. And if what you're doing is wrong here this morning, Jesus says, stop it. Don't do it. People say, well, don't judge me. And Jesus just loves everybody. That's what the world says. What did the disciples say about Jesus? Think about it. Andrew said he was the Messiah. John chapter 1, verse 41 said he first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated Christ. Nathanael said the same thing in John 1, 49. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Peter said he was the Christ. Jesus talked to Peter and all the disciples. Whom do men say that I am? Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In John chapter 6, verse 69, when Jesus is talking about eating his blood and eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and many of them went away at that time and walked no more with him. And Jesus said, would you also go away? Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. And he said in verse 69, and also we, Peter said it, but he said we, referring to all the disciples, we have come to believe that you are in the Christ, the Son of the living God. The word Christ there is the Greek word for the anointed one, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. You're the one God was going to send, and you're here. Paul said he was Lord and Savior. I did an interesting little study this week on something. I went to all the letters that Paul had written in the New Testament. He wrote like 13 epistles. And I went to all of them. In the very first verse of every one of them, Paul acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There wasn't any doubt in Paul's mind about who he was. And all said he was the only way of salvation. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. They all said Jesus was the Christ, he's the Savior of the world, and the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Boy, that flies in the face of the popularity crowd today and the politically correct bunch in America. Don't turn on Oprah. She'll tell you something different. Hello? What did the religious crowd say about Jesus? They said he was a deceiver. Matthew chapter 27, verse 63 is saying, "Sir, we remember," that was it when they were trying him, "we remember while he was still alive, how that," after he was tried, "how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" They called him a deceiver. They said he had a demon, the devil. John chapter 7, verse 20, John chapter 8, verse 48, and John chapter 8, verse 52, it says this in verse 52, "Then the Jews said to him, 'Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death.'" They said, he's full of demons. He's got a devil. He said, "The prince of the devil, Beelzebub, he's doing all his tricks and his miracles by the devil." You know, they even said he was crazy and insane. John chapter 10, verse 20 said, "Many of them said he has a demon and is mad." Why do you listen to him? And you know, they said, "We don't want you to speak anymore in his name." The religious crowd. Isn't that where we are today? Don't talk about Jesus in the public arena. Don't talk about him in any political platform. You can't pray in Jesus' name publicly. Don't witness to anyone about Jesus. And don't dare show his name in public. Somebody will get upset and tear it down. That's what the religious crowd in the world says. But here's where we want to camp out the most part this morning. What did Jesus say about himself? In the Gospel of John, John records 10 great I am statements that Jesus said about himself. And I want to just tick down through these real quickly, and then we're going to kind of pull over and park in John chapter 5, verse 31 through 39 for a few moments. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 10, then 13, 14, "I am the living water." John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, he said he was the Messiah. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." He said, "I'm the Messiah." He said he was the bread of life, John chapter 6, verse 35 and 48. He said he was the light of the world, John chapter 8 and verse 12. He said he was the door, John chapter 10, verse 7. He said, "I'm the good shepherd," John chapter 10, verse 11. He said, "I'm the Son of God," in John chapter 10, verse 36. He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life," in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." John chapter 15, verse 1, he said, "I'm the true vine." In John chapter 19, verse 21, he says, "I am the king." Listen to what it said. "Therefore the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write, the king of the Jews,' but he said, 'I am the king of the Jews.'" Jesus made it pretty clear. John recorded it pretty clear on who Jesus said he was. But you know, Jesus said, I want you to turn your Bible to John chapter 5 just a minute now, because we're going to dig in just a little passage of scripture. What John records some stuff, because Jesus basically says here, we're going to kind of go through this. In verse 31 of chapter 5, John, love to hear the pages turning, because I want you to see in God's word what I'm preaching, that you'd know what I'm saying is the truth and not just something Steve came up with. Verse 31 said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true." What's Jesus saying here? He said, if I only had my witness, then you can throw it out. But Jesus said, if you won't believe me, I've got four witnesses I want to give you this morning. And he wanted to give them that he was who he said he was. Remember in the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, said in the mouth of two or three more witnesses, everything will be established. You know, we have that in our courts of law today. You got to have more than one witness about something. Sometimes we use circumstantial evidence as a witness, but you can't try and convict anybody on one single witness. Jesus said, if you want to just take my witness and you won't take it, that's fine. Two or three more witnesses. Let me give you some more witnesses, Jesus said. Look what he says in verse 31 through 33. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You sent to John, and he had borne witness to the truth. He gave the witness of John the Baptist. Remember when Jesus first came on the scene, started his public ministry. John was baptizing out over in the Jordan River. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking out, and John says in John 1:29, next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And in verse 34 of that same chapter, he says, "I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." Look in verse 34 and 35. "Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." See, Jesus wants us to be saved by knowing who he is. "He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his life." Jesus said, "John was a witness to me. If you won't believe me, take the witness of John." But then he gave the witness of his miracles in verse 36. "But I have a greater witness than John." He said, "Okay, let me give you another one. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." Remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3 comes to Jesus by night, wants to talk to him, and he says, "Rabbi, I got some questions for you." In verse 2, he says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him." That word signs are really in the King James is translated miracles. Many translations translate miracles, signs. It's all the same. It's extraordinary, supernatural things that Jesus was doing. And Nicodemus, as a ruler in Israel, said, "You can't do that unless God's with you." And Jesus is saying, all these things that I'm doing, healing the sick and making the lame to walk and the blind to see and raising the dead, all these things testify to you who I am. You know, the Gospel of John records 7 miracles that Jesus did. I've done a series on them before. One of these days, maybe the Lord will lead me to do that with you, about looking at each one of those miracles in the Gospel of John and what they mean. But why only 7? Why did John only record 7 miracles in his Gospel that Jesus did? Well, John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31, John just kind of sums it up this way. "And truly Jesus did many signs or miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." John says, "I didn't write them all down. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John picked out 7 miracles and said, "I want you to just take this witness, what Jesus did, that you know he's the Son of God, and believing in him, you'd have life in his name. You'd be saved, as we call it, Baptist. You'd be born again, family of God, know heaven is home when you die, forgiven of all your sin, past, present, and future, be a new creature in Christ." That's pretty good, amen? He gave the witness of his miracles. And he said then, "But if you don't believe that," he gave the witness of his Father. Verse 37, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me." Remember when Jesus was baptized, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17 records this. John baptizes Jesus, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father is testifying to the whole crowd there, "This is my Son whom I am well pleased." John said, "I saw the Spirit descending and alighting on him like a dove. And he had said to me, the one that you see the Spirit lighting on is he, the Messiah, the Savior." Remember that? The Father testified. That's what Jesus is alluding to. But there's another time the Father spoke about Jesus too. Remember when Jesus went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he was transfigured, he turned into his glorified body right there before him. And Peter says, and they're talking about, said he begins to talk with Moses and Elijah. Now let me just run off in a little tangent for a second. How did Peter know it was Moses and Elijah? Did he see their picture on the internet? Somebody sent him a selfie? Maybe they had their picture hung up on the wall in the synagogue. No, they didn't have those things back in that day. Peter knew who they was. And the reason I'm running off on a little tangent for a minute, sometimes people say, "Will I be known as I am known when I get to heaven?" Peter knew who Elijah and Moses was. Amen. You'll be known and they'll know who you are. Now back on track. Peter got all excited and he said, "Let's build 3 tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus." Man, we'll... In Luke chapter 9, verse 33, says, not knowing what he said, he was so scared and awestruck by it, he just starts blurting out stuff. Peter was good at that. Y'all You don't ever do that, though, do you? Sometimes I'm guilty of that kind of stuff. Peter doesn't realize, but what he's implying that Moses and Elijah and Jesus are all on equal footing. And what does the Father respond with when Peter blurts that out? It says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. Don't you dare put Moses and Elijah on the same plane with my Son. He is my Son, the Son of God. That's what he's saying. And Jesus said, my Father testified of me. If you don't believe me, listen to John the Baptist, what he said about him. If you don't believe John the Baptist, look at all the miracles and the things that I'm doing that only God could be doing. And if you don't believe that, what did the Father say about me? But then he gave the witness of the Bible. Look in verse 38 and 39. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, whom him do you not believe? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Jesus says, you got the witness of the word of God, the scriptures. Now, they're not talking about the gospels. He's not talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't even written at that point. He's saying the Old Testament is pointing to me. You remember, after Jesus had risen from the grave, two disciples are walking on the road to Emmaus, and all of a sudden Jesus appears with them. They don't understand and know who he is. And he says, why are you so sad? Where were you been? Haven't you heard what's went on in Jerusalem the last few days? Jesus, whom we thought was the Messiah, was crucified. And we thought it was he who was going to redeem Israel, and you don't understand why we're sad? And it says, Jesus, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, that the Christ ought to suffer and rise. Now, when he expounded all the scripture, he didn't look at the book of Ephesians, wasn't written yet. He didn't look at the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wasn't written yet. He was looking in the Old Testament, said all these things in the scriptures were pointing to me, that the Savior would come, he would suffer, he would die, he would rise again the third day for remission of sin in Israel. He gave him the witness of the Bible. Jesus said, he said himself, here is who I am. I'm not a created being. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a rabbi or teacher. I'm not just some good historical religious figure. I am the Son of God who came to save men from their sin. C.S. Lewis, who was a great Christian theologian, passed away in 1963. I want you to read a quote. I put it up on the screen here too. You can read it along with me. He said, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of man who says he has a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up as a fool, you can spit at him or kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come to any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. You remember when he was trying Jesus? Pilate brings him out in front of the crowd, and he says, what will you have me do with this Jesus? I think it's a great question for us this morning. What will we do with Jesus? They answered, crucify him. The world's basically saying that today. Get him out of our face. We don't want to hear anything about what he says, who he is. That's the answer the worst the world is giving. But what do you and I say this morning? What do you and I do with Jesus? See, the question this morning is not what you believe about Jesus, but do you believe he is the Son of God? Do you believe he's the Savior of the world? If you do, what is it that you need to do this morning? Give him your life and be saved? Ask him to forgive you of your sin, because he is only God can forgive sin. Are you saved this morning? What will you do with Jesus? If you don't know him, you need to surrender your life to him this morning. Confess him as Lord and Savior and be saved, born again in the family of God, forgiven of all your sins, and know the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God. Know heaven is your home. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Maybe what will you do with him this morning? Maybe he's saying you need to confess him publicly by being baptized. Maybe you've trusted him as Lord and Savior, but for whatever reason, you've never been baptized by immersion to show that you died to your old self, you're raised to walk in the newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to be baptized. Is that what he's saying to you this morning, that you need to do? What you need to do this morning? Or maybe he's saying, isn't it time you got serious about your relationship with God? You know, I think it's one of the sad things in America today. So many people are naming Jesus Christ, but they have no serious relationship with the Lord. And I'm not their judge, but it brings me to the question, are they really saved? A good preacher friend of mine was a missionary in Africa for 33 years, John Griggs, and he said, how can you call him Savior if you don't call him Lord? Because he didn't separate that out. See, to be your Savior is to be your Lord. He's saying to you and me this morning that it's time we got serious with him. What did Jesus believe about himself? I think it's pretty clear, amen? And just like C.S. Lewis said, we can't do anything else but to call him Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. We pray that, Lord, we thank you for what a great Savior and Lord we have. Jesus, the Son of God, who came into this world to be born of a virgin, to die on the cross for our sin, to give us eternal life. We thank you and praise you. Have your way in our hearts and lives this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, as in faith begins to play softly. What's Jesus saying to you this morning? What will you do with Jesus? There may be something he's speaking to your heart about this morning that you need to do, that not anything that I've even mentioned, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about it. If you do, just come and obey the Lord. Maybe you need to come pray for someone you know that doesn't believe Jesus is who he is. It's breaking your heart because you tried to witness to them and they don't want to accept your witness. Keep praying. Don't give up. Stay true. Call on him and he will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, in just a minute, we have the invitation. Just come and say, preacher, I need to be saved. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he rose and ran from the grave. I believe he died on the cross for my sin, and I want to be saved. You come.